you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to The Fandom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really love stuff. I'm Jordan Zacharin. I'm the features editor here at Sci-Fi Wire. Now, we've got a bit of a different treat for you today. I mean, Fandom Files, as our loyal listeners know, we're interested in people. We're interested in their stories. We are interested in anyone and everyone that is unique, and which is funny, everyone and everyone that is unique. But people that can tell us something new about fandom, about creativity. We talked to screenwriters, directors, animators, bloggers, fan protesters, everyone in between, and it's been a lot of fun. Almost 2 years of this podcast. This is the first time we've spoken with a sitting U.S. senator and or presidential candidate, and that's pretty impressive that, you know, we were able to talk to him, and lucky, I gotta say. We're at San Diego Comic-Con and heard that Senator Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey who is running for president, is a Democrat. He was going to be there, and turns out he is a huge nerd and loves Star Trek and Marvel and comic books and all those other things. So he wanted to talk with us. And so, yeah, of course we were going to. We originally shot it for video, and the following conversation, you can hear me, but I'm not that active in it. It's a little bit one way because you want the senator speaking on video, not so much me. So it's a little bit less of a full conversation, but you hear all that he has to say. He has a lot of great answers for a lot of questions about Star Trek, Marvel, all kinds of things that have already made a splash. But, you know, there was an edited version online, and I wanted to put out the whole thing. So we're lucky to do that as a podcast. So sit back and listen to Cory Booker, presidential candidate, sitting senator, and huge Trekkie.
So what brings you to San Diego Comic-Con in the first place?
This is like a artistic mecca for me in many ways. I've dreamed about going to the actual Comic-Con. I've been to some spin-offs before, but never the San Diego Comic-Con. And so for me, being out here in California for campaigning reasons, to get a couple hours off to do what is to me just as a big nerd, I mean, it is incredible. I hope that everybody who is sort of a comics fan, superhero fan, sci-fi fan, gets this opportunity.
You were out on the floor checking things out. What did you see that excited you?
You know, I have a broad array of tastes that this actually fits perfectly in. So to see, number one, the people who just are enjoying themselves, dressing up, the friendliness. I took pictures with everybody from superheroes all the way to cartoon characters, which was really exciting to me. I'm a huge, huge Star Trek fan. It's like has been a part of my life since I was born, really. My father was just a massive fan. So for me, getting to go to the Star Trek experience was an incredible opportunity to stand. They had this wonderful thing where you step into a transporter, which reminds me of the toy that I used to have as a kid where you spin it around, the action figure disappears, and then you spin it back and it comes back. So that was really a lot of fun to see. But I like everything from, you know, Rick and Morty to all the way to seeing sort of what's coming out next that I can get really excited about.
Yeah, I mean, you are a huge Star Trek fan. I know that. You said you've been a fan since birth.
I had a dad that sat me down, almost like it was a serious father-son conversation. Like, okay, what's it going to be this time, Dad? But as a little boy, he sat me down and just said, this is a show you must watch. And it was that important to him in terms of how it was already impacting culture. Probably then it was the 70s that I probably had that conversation with my dad. For me, as a guy growing up, you know, growing up black and seeing a future where we have overcome racism and poverty and all those challenges. But more than that, that we as a species, humanity, pulled together such that they were doing things or beyond imagination. And then what was exciting in my generation is to grow up and see things on Star Trek and then see technology catch up. I mean, now the flip phones that they used to have that seem so amazing, we've now gone beyond that. Computers you can talk to. So for me, it just challenged me to dream bolder dreams. It challenged me to have hopeful belief in what we could accomplish together, the best of human instincts. That combined with science and technology and innovation, it made me believe that the future could be incredible and great and to be a part of making it so.
You know, so you were a big fan of the original series, I'm sure some of the movies, then there's so many series after that. Which series, whether it's Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, the original, what's your favorite?
So this is tough because I think they've done a lot. I think the current iteration is really, really great. When I went to overseas, the first time I was going beyond the American borders, I lived in England for 2 years. I started a Star Trek club at Oxford, and we were Next Generation people. And Star Trek: The Next Generation for me is my favorite. And Jean-Luc Picard is my favorite captain. Maybe it has something to do with his incredible hairstyle, although Sisko in Deep Space Nine gets that as well. Definitely right now, it's still that.
I was going to ask of all the captains, let's say you become the nominee here, who would be your running mate?
Well, if I'm president of the United States, I'm going to make it so. And so that is definitely Jean-Luc Picard, who's my absolute favorite. It's almost fighting words with some people, you know. I have a staffer. This question I ask on my staff all the time. I was so psyched that I had this guy we hired on our campaign team. I asked him that question. He was like, Janeway. I'm like, that's really great. That's really great. And I have to say, I still will rewatch different series. And just recently finished all of Voyager one more time. And I like the Voyager because it's wrapped up nicely with them actually getting home at the end.
Right. Now, so, you know, they had to make really tough decisions, the captains of these ships. So
yes.
I want to ask you a few questions that, you know, if you're going to be commander-in-chief, you've got to command the Enterprise.
This is really good because there's really difficult moral questions there. One of my favorite moments in Star Trek was revealing Jean-Luc Picard and a Crusher, the Doctor, were trapped on a planet and their minds were synced. So they knew what everybody was thinking. And she saw that he often would make decisions as if, like, we will go right. And then she realized, you actually don't really know where you're going. But she saw that a leadership technique is you got to be confident no matter what. You got to exhibit confidence, give confidence to your team. But go ahead. Give me the questions that a captain might face.
All right. In Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, Kirk puts the entire fleet at risk trying to save his friend. Was that a good decision?
Well, I think Spock himself would say that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. So that loyalty and friendship between the two people are great, but I think that was a mistake for him to do that. It made for a great movie, but The Search for Spock, you say he put the whole fleet in jeopardy. If that is really the case, because I might argue that point, but I think at the end of the day, Spock, who sacrificed himself, their last words, that moment where they put their hands on the window together, I think that Spock made his intentions clear.
Right. Well, so what about you love Jean-Luc Picard? How would you have handled the Borg?
Wow. How would I have handled the Borg? Especially when Jean-Luc Picard was captured and turned into a Borg, which is very serious. Look, I've been up in my life against impossible challenges and defeating them. I do not think that anything is futile, especially actions of justice and righteousness. And you, it's hard to beat people that just won't give up. So we, because it's definitely a collection, we could beat the Borg if they would come.
All right, so this is a hot topic still. Wesley Crusher, what were your thoughts on him?
Look, I don't like bullies, and I've heard him be bullied a lot. I'm tired of the anti, I think that got way over the top, the anti-Wesley Crusher sentiment. And nothing made me happier than his sort of resurgence as a character, playing himself on one of my favorite sitcoms, Big Bang Theory. So I was really happy to see him sort of get a second act in that role, or at least in the guy who played that role.
You know, I know you got to see Avengers
Will
Endgame.
Will Wheaton.
I know you got to see Avengers Endgame, which is impressive you were able to.
Yes, I'm hurting having not seen Spider-Man.
It's still in theaters.
It is. So it is. But it may go, it's hard to get the moment. Today was like 2 hours. Do I go to Comic-Con or do I go see Spider-Man?
I feel like you made the right call.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do
so,
too.
You got to see Endgame.
Yes. You know, but you got to interview the freaking writers, the screen. I mean, that's amazing.
What would you have asked them? What did you want to know about Endgame?
I guess there's a lot of things I want to know. Right now, I want to know, like, who's going to be the next Captain America? Like, I think that they are, I'm really curious how they're going to evolve that character. I want to know what life is going to be like without Iron Man, which is really problematic. But I'm excited with all of these sort of mergers going on right now. And as a guy that, in my professional life, I'm really worrying about corporate consolidation and antitrust laws. It's something we do not enforce enough. But there's something exciting to me that now the X-Men franchise and the Marvel franchise, the one we've been seeing, can be merging. And the possibilities for these stories in the Marvel universe are just so, so exciting to me. So I'm curious what a lot of the folks, when they're writing, are they putting little seeds in place that we may not have realized for future stories.
Well, we have the Endgame directors and writers here, the plotting the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How would you like to see the X-Men integrated into the...
Look, I think the beautiful thing about the X-Men really is confronting this other syndrome that we often do, this idea that we often bully or belittle people who are different. And I think it's a larger idea about society as a whole. And I think that a lot of the storylines are challenging us as a society. Here you have some people that dealt with their ostracization by trying to get back, some people that knew they had a special role even though they weren't looked upon as, or feared when they were looked upon. So I love the fact that there's so many layers to these relationships, and I'm hoping that they find some really exciting ways to kind of bring it all together. And I'd like to see team-ups that you don't expect, you know, looking at, you know, the Hulk and some of the incredible folks from the X-Men. It would be just great to see matches that you don't really see, that the comic books themselves, some of them they've explored, but it would be great to see them do it now.
And one of the most political of the Marvel movies was Civil War.
Yes.
They went through the Registration Act, talking about that. And that's,
yeah,
I think, an interesting topic. You have these superheroes who are all powerful, and just the government regulate them or not. What would you, if you were president during Civil War, Avengers, or Captain America Civil War, where would you stand on
Look,
that?
There is an issue of collateral damage, and I love that they explored that. I mean, you see these superheroes blowing through buildings. Nobody talks about the person standing on the side of the building and gets hit by a piece of concrete. With great power comes great responsibility. And if you're gonna have that kind of power, you should have kind of responsibility. This gets back to the issues of corporate consolidation. I mean, we have now these social media platforms are having such an outsized influence on society, culture, even influencing our brains in ways that we don't know. I think there is a place for proper regulation to protect people. Even though I empathize with both sides in that, I think I would have been on the side of the folks that were like, basically the Iron Man side,
yeah,
on the Tony Stark side.
Yeah.
Team Tony.
You know, Eric Swalwell, who's no longer in the race, he once compared all the Democrats running for president to the Avengers.
Right.
And I'm curious, how do you see it? How, if you were to assign different Avengers to different...
Well, let's just be clear right now. I would not be Thor. I don't have the hair. I just would not. I will not assign characters to people, especially because of my whole... purpose of my life is trying to get us to come together, to assemble, so to speak, and not to demonize other people so badly. And I watched Barack Obama become demonized so badly that in the last presidential primaries, back when the Republicans had so many people, Chris Christie, our former governor of New Jersey, literally lost 10 points in the New Hampshire polls because they showed a commercial of the two men hugging. And that seemed to be such a betrayal. We are at a bad point in America right now where we seem to have more animosity for each other just because we vote differently and have whole different political opinions than we have animosity for people overseas. And there are foreign adversaries like the Russians. There's something problematic. We've got to figure out a way to heal this country enough that we can do the things that we even agree on, where policies that most Americans agree on we just can't get done. So the superhero or the superpowers that I think we need is those folks that can revive civic grace and have a sort of a more courageous empathy between Americans. And I think that that's the kind of ordinary heroism we're going to really need in our society.
You mentioned President Obama, who's also a bit of a geek himself. I'm curious, who's the bigger nerd, you or former president?
God, that is a good question. I'm not really sure. I mean, I miss Obama, and I miss her husband too. So Michelle, to me, is the hero in that relationship. And the guy she married, I don't know. I didn't know he was a big geek. I knew he was a big sports fan. So I'm not sure. I plotted my life. You know, I played Pac-10 football, not because of athletic aspiration, but I just wanted something to temper my massive nerddom so that when people looked at me, they didn't know which was I the jock or was I the nerd. The truth was, is that I was both.
I was going to ask that because you were a football player, you know,
yeah,
but you're also, which part of you was dominant growing up, the nerd or the jock?
I was the guy that would go out and play football on Saturday and then would be in the basement playing D&D with my friends on Sunday. I'm really glad that I have both. We've seen in life that nerds often win in the long run. I'm very pro-nerd, but I'm glad that I was able to play big-time college football in fields ranging from, you know, the Rose Bowl to Notre Dame Stadium. Those were great experiences.
You know, you were on the floor just a few hours ago at Comic-Con.
Yes.
So you took a lot of photos of people. Wondering what you would cosplay as if you had the chance to go and do that. And it wouldn't be, you know, people wouldn't take a million photos. It'd just be you in your costume doing your thing.
So I'm looking at you like you, there's a presumption in that question that you should check a little bit. Like, what makes you think I haven't already?
Oh, that's true.
You know, the good thing about cosplay is like you don't know. Is that the senator under that Iron Man mask? or is that just another regular Comic-Con regular? So I can't confirm or deny whether I have walked through Comic-Cons before in something where people could not tell my identity.
Fair enough.
Yes. And my girlfriend, who's been to a lot of Comic-Cons in her own day, and is literally, I'm very excited that I'm dating a woman who has been a part of the Marvel Universe and actually had to patch up Daredevil. when I talked, you know, I played it cool when we first started dating, but at one point I had to start geeking out on her that she was a part of this universe. But I would love to be able to go with her where we could be dressed up and nobody would know who we were, so we could actually just really enjoy Comic-Con in a way that we probably wouldn't be able to right now.
I know that, you know, she's a big Star Trek fan as well.
She's a huge Star Trek fan.
Do you guys ever speak Klingon to one another?
Kapla. No, you're going to get me really in trouble. This video will come back to hurt me. we are both big Star Trek fans, which I love. And we're talking about the current series iteration a lot. And I've been in this terrible, like when you run for president and you have a Senate job, it is the least amount I've been able to participate in media ever. I have all these things backing up on my TiVo and all these movies I haven't been able to see. So we try to have a couple deals that aren't broken where we save things for each other. So we save Black Mirror for each other and actually got a chance to watch it together. But she has, I'm gonna say this right now, she at one point violated that agreement and watched something without me, which I felt that was, I think, one of the bigger issues we've had in our relationship. Now, she would deny this. We had arguments over this. She said she did not break the code. I say she did. You know, we might have to get some counseling on this issue.
Well, you know, spoilers are a big issue. You know, people on the internet are very upset about spoilers.
Yes.
Or, you know, they get sensitive about it. Should you become president, and you could, I'm not saying you're going to, but could you, if you could pass a law dictating when spoilers can be made, what do you think is a good time, amount of time to give for a movie or TV show before you can spoil them?
All I know is that one way we can bring people together is when big movies come out, see if we can get a screening at the White House, get some Republicans, some Democrats to watch together, can't sit next to a person in your same party, get some great snack food, which the food is very important, where you go when you go. But this might be a bonding aspect of getting, you know, if Hollywood let us have movies early, we could definitely get people together that sit together that may not do before. This is an idea you're giving me right now.
Which movies would you show at the White House?
Definitely not disaster movies. We have enough of that going on already in Washington. No, look, I think art has a way to inspire and to reveal to us that we have a lot more in common than we have that divides us, that human emotion is fear or hope, despair or faith, loyalty, all these things I think art can reveal, can deepen empathy for other people. So I actually think that it is wonderful. And I have worked with people in Washington to show movies before, documentaries. In fact, the criminal justice big bill that we recently passed, me and Mike Lee once sponsored a movie for people to watch and understand some of the realities that go on for people who are behind bars for exorbitantly long sentences.
I know Patrick Leahy, he's a big Batman fan.
Patrick Leahy is not only a big Batman fan, as he has let me know that he has been doing cameos in Batman movies for a very long time. So is Debbie Stabenow, for example. Yeah, so I have this just dream one day that I will get a chance to do a cameo in some of my favorite sort of series, whether it's a Marvel movie or a Star Trek movie or even Star Wars, I would do.
Even Star Wars. And you're much more Star Trek than Star Wars.
I'm much more Star Trek than Star Wars, but I love Star Wars. I mean, in fact, if you had to think movies that impacted my life as a guy that was born like right at the beginning, you know, of that sort of early 70s great movies, I can go through some of these directors that had powerful impacts. But Star Wars coming out, I think, in 76, I was just a young kid. That was a powerfully impactful movie to me. E.T. was incredible as a kid growing up. And then I still remember when the first Star Trek reboot happened. And it was a part of a birthday party. A friend of mine, one of my best friends' birthday party, invited me to see it. It was really amazing. So I am the child of a guy, and I was told he was, you know, poor, single mother, segregated environment, was born to a woman who named him Cary Alfred Booker after Cary Grant Alfred Hitchcock. So a great, great, one of the great filmmakers of all time. And my dad would tell a story about being in a segregated balcony in a movie theater watching art, watching a movie. And he said the movie was about the salesman in Manhattan that was getting by on his wit and his sort of gift of gab. And my father said, movies, when you're a kid, plant seeds. And, you know, decades later, he was one of IBM's first ever black salesmen and did so well where he first got a job. He got promoted up to Manhattan and said, what I saw in a movie as a child shaped the very trajectory of my life. And so my father was one of these people that would introduce me to film because he knew that even if it was something science fiction, something way out there that like me, it would plant seeds in me. And so what I loved about the science fiction I watched growing up, the fantasy, the superhero movies, is there was this drive for good, this drive for decency, for kindness, for extending a sort of unmerited grace to people, even the villains at times. And those values I just found resonant with the values that my parents celebrated as two products of an activist in the civil rights movement. The heroes that were lionized, the Martin Luther Kings, the Ella Bakers in my house, became sort of resonant with the kind of Herculean love that I would often see exhibited in some of the fantasy and science fiction movies I loved. And it inspired me as a kid to see around my kitchen table, whether it was my dad with the movies we watched or my parents with the heroes that were lionized at my kitchen table, that these values in society are urgently needed. And I had an obligation in my life to try to do the ordinary or the humble heroism of everyday kindness, everyday decency. And then when you have that protagonist faced with a decision to take a shortcut to something and compromise their values, when I'd be sitting next to my dad, I'd get elbows or kicks when that protagonist makes the right decision and does the right thing. And so this idea that in movies you often see redemption, at a time when our society is pulling itself apart, I still am looking for the ending. And I know that what will get us there is often the service and the sacrifice of everyday heroes. It's really wonderful to have parents that so believed that art could communicate values like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of putting it. And now, last question is, you know, you're a big Batman fan. You haven't been in a Batman movie yet, but in 2013, you backed Ben Affleck as a great Batman.
Well, a couple things. First of all, I opened up City Hall in Newark, New Jersey for the filming of Batman. So Batman, one of the movies, was filmed actually in our City Hall. It was really extraordinary to see Gotham City police cars parked in front of Newark City Hall. I tried to, you know, borrow one. It didn't go over well. So I'm sorry, continue. I just want to make sure there's a lot of parallels. And I don't know if you knew this fact. Where was the first Star Trek convention?
I'm going to guess Newark.
You know, you're a smart man. So technically, people say it was the 73 convention that was in New York. But you can fact check this. I know sci-fi is big on fact checking.
Sharknadoes are real.
Sharknadoes. I think Sharknado 4 might have been real based on real events, but I think Sharknado 1 was a little fantasy out there, a little far out there.
It's coming true with climate change.
It is. That's why I walk along the beach, I'm always aware. You know, I'm very very much aware. Okay, but the first in Newark Public Library. In 1969, they had what they called it Star Trek Con. I'm very proud that my city could claim that we are the birthplace of Star Trek conventions.
That seems pretty fitting.
It is very fitting. So I'm sorry. Star Trek, Newark, Batman, think Newark City Hall. Go with your question.
Well, they just recast Batman. Right, with Robert Pattinson.
Yes, and by the way, I'm a big Ben Affleck. I thought great. I know there are some critics of him, but I think he did a phenomenal job. I'm a big Ben fan.
That was really my question. I just wanted to see, looking back on it, how you felt since you went on a limb for him.
I don't think I went on a limb for him. I think that he was a great Batman. I'm just a big Ben fan.
Yes.
How do you like them apples? I'm sorry. that was Matt Damon.
I was gonna say I thought he was a great Bruce Wayne.
Yep. If you could play a superhero, who would you play?
If I could play a superhero, I don't know how qualified physically I am, but being probably have to be one who's not that physically. And
I don't, what are you talking about? Spider-Man looked like a...
I would be Spider-Man, I think.
Would you really be Spider-Man?
I could do a wisecrack.
But I worry that Spider-Man's not really bulletproof.
That's true.
I mean, Spider-Man's coming at you.
He can heal.
He's got a great healing power, yes.
He's smarter than me.
How about a better question? If you could be an American president, which one would you be?
I would be President Cory Booker.
I like the ring of that. Favorite fictional president?
I don't know. My favorite president personally is FDR.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite president as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the way he rallied the country and passed such good reforms.
Yeah, and reforms that were necessary for people, really against this ideology of, is it dog eat dog, everybody out for themselves, or are we a culture that believes in investing in each other and being for each other in crisis? And he really won that battle.
Yeah, the way he was able to, you know, rally people and working people towards greater good is inspiring.
Yes. So you would, if you had to go back in time and hang out with the president, he would be the president you would go back in time.
He seemed like a fun-loving guy too.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Yeah. What about you?
I would definitely go back with FDR, but you've taken that. I would really like to get to know Lincoln. Like, what was he like? He's a guy that faced defeat after defeat after defeat in his own political career. He's a guy that faced really difficult decisions and made some decisions, even in hindsight, don't look so great. I mean, he had some battles with Frederick Douglass, for example. Like, his original idea was, like, free these slaves and send them back to Africa. And Frederick Douglass was like, no, we've been here since the 16, 1700s and helped to, you know, make this country what it is. So... But I think that it would be amazing to see him and talk to him. He was such a fragile person. He had health issues, mental health issues in his life, in his marriage. Just like an incredibly complex figure that at the time history called him, stepped up and was incredible.
He's willing to be pushed too for doing the right thing.
Yeah, very, very much so.
So there you have it. A conversation, a good long conversation with Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, talking about Star Trek, Marvel, justice for Wesley Crusher, being in favor of registering superheroes, still being on Team Bad Flag, and a whole lot more. Remember, if you like this podcast, review us, give us 5 stars, say something nice. It would be very, very appreciated. We will be back next week with a normal show. And hey, hopefully more presidential candidates are going to come on the Fandom Files.